Good morning and welcome. Freedom is the title of today's sermon given by the Reverend Stephen K. Jurdy in this worship service coming to you from Zion Lutheran Church in downtown Wausau, Wisconsin. We invite you in joining us in praising God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through this worship service. The service begins with the prayers for confession and absolution. Then the congregation will sing the entrance hymn, Praise to the Lord the Almighty, number 543 in the Lutheran Book of Worship. The organist is Rod Reese. The vocalist is Jim Speckart. The lector is Kathy Fondry. The presiding pastor is the Reverend Christopher Johnson, and the assisting minister is Vicar Joseph Pinzel.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will, walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the church, and by the authority of Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Holy Spirit, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Holy Church, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Author and giver of all good things, graft into our hearts the love of your name and nourish us with all goodness, that we may love and serve our neighbor through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading is from 1 Kings chapter 19. Behold, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore the mountains, and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and even and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. The word of the Lord.
Psalm 16.
Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, "You are my Lord, my good above all other." But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. Therefore is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope. You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
epistle is from Galatians chapter 5. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us confess the faith with one heart.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In response to the Word of God, the congregation sings the hymn of the day, Come Follow Me, the Savior Spake, hymn number 455.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Is it only because the Bible says so? Brothers and sisters, we are coming to a time when all Christian believers must pause and consider why they believe what they believe. Is it only because the Bible says so? Or is there something more? We have to ask that question for a couple reasons. First, the morality and the values of our culture have changed so much that not only those outside the church, but also those inside the church frequently ask themselves, why is this one thing right and that other thing wrong? Why does it matter so much? Second, the people around us want to know just as much as we do. Even if they don't know that they want to know, they are asking, why is this thing right and that thing wrong? Why is it that marriage matters? Why do men and women matter? Why should I love my neighbor? Why should I forgive and not be angry? Who is my neighbor? Why does it matter so much? And what is right? And what is wrong? The church has answers to those questions, but even more, those answers have reasons as to why they are the answers. And we all need to hear them. Often people say it's because the Bible says so. But why does the Bible say so? We need to understand that for God, following what he says is not just a matter of following his authority. Rather, God uses his authority. That is, God has chosen to be your God. He has chosen to reveal himself to this whole creation as its Lord and King and Savior and lover for a particular reason. And what is that reason? Well, you hear it. You hear it in the very first verse of today's second reading. In that very first verse, you not only hear God's reason for everything, but you also have the beginning for understanding why the church says one thing's right and the other thing is wrong. There we read the following. For freedom, Christ has set us free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. God wants you to be free. Everything that he gives you in Jesus Christ comes either as a way of giving you that freedom or keeping you in that freedom. And that includes his teaching about right and wrong. So what is this freedom for which Christ has freed you? Well, to see the answer to that question, we're going to play a little game. And the name of this game is Who's More Free? I'm going to describe two people to you. And your job is to answer in your mind. You don't have to call out the answer. But your job is to answer which of these two people is more free. Simple game. So first I give you two women who are sitting side by side. The first woman is just sitting there. Her hands, her legs, her whole body is able to stand up and move around at any time that she chooses. The other woman has been strapped into her seat, and a man has put a cage-like structure over her shoulders made out of steel bars, so that she can only move her head a little bit from side to side, and she cannot get up. Which woman is more free? I forgot to add the most relevant piece of information. They're sitting in a roller coaster. A roller coaster that will hang upside down at one point. So now you tell me, which woman is more free? Or here's two other people. The first person is wrapped up so tightly that his legs and arms cannot move, and he has just been placed in such a tight space that he can only see about an inch or a half inch in front of himself. The other person is waving his hands and his feet. The breeze is blowing through his air, and the whole world passes around him in the beautiful sunlight. Again, the most relevant piece of information, they are both babies. One is in a snuggle by his mother, and the other one has just been dropped. Which child is more free? Or now you have two boys. One boy has been forced by his father to learn about astronomy and weather patterns, plants and animals and trees. He's been taught how to pray and to trust God and to be brave. And the other boy has just sort of been left to his own devices. He's never really been taught anything. He just sent out in the morning to be by himself. And now both boys are lost in the woods. Which boy is most free? In each of those examples, the truly free person is always the person bound to a certain purpose. The woman strapped into the roller coaster is truly a free woman because she alone can enjoy it. The other one is free to move, but at her peril. Of those two babies, the one baby is free to be healthy and well and safe, and the other is not free at all, but is falling to his injury. You can only be free in the woods by yourself when you're lost if you have learned about the woods and bound yourself to its knowledge and what it teaches. Well, so it goes in the life of God as well. Our freedom is bound to a purpose, and that's what makes it free. The purpose of God is simple, and that purpose is life. He desires for you to have life and to share life. And so the freedom that he bestows is shaped by that purpose. It has two parts. In the first part, he gives us life. Once we were headed towards death like a train bound for Chicago, we were bound to death. But then God and his Son, Jesus, sends his life into your flesh and into your blood. And not only into your flesh and your blood, but he sent that life even into our sin by coming to us on the cross in our blood. And in that worst moment of our rejection and our denial of him, Jesus is proving that he is truly bound to you. He has bound his life so fast to you that it cannot be separated by death from you. It cannot be separated by sin from you. It cannot be separated by denial, because he's been put on you, joined to you on that cross, and now joined to you in baptism, joined to you in the word and sacraments of his church, so that you are bound for life. There's that first part of God's freedom. And in the second part of God's freedom, he keeps you free by binding you to the life of creation. That's what right and wrong are all about. Right and wrong isn't just about doing what God says. Right and wrong is about binding yourselves to creation, just as Jesus bound himself to you so that creation may have life from you, just as Jesus gives you life and you have life from him. As St. Paul more fully writes, "For freedom Christ has set us free, only do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And then he goes on to unpack it. Life does not come to creation when men and women trade marriage for sexual immorality. For then, far too often, children are abandoned or unwanted, and actually the sexual immorality itself isn't all that great, as study after study proves. Rather, life comes to creation when romance is tucked into marriage, where husband and wife learn to enjoy each other over many years. And any children that come along know their mother and father. Likewise, life does not come to any woman or man when he or she is turned into an object of lust. For then men and women learn to devalue their own bodies and see them as tools and not as the beauty that God made them to be. Life comes to men and women when they are honored in their bodies and treated as objects to serve and to care for, not use and abuse. Life does not come to a nation when it is driven by dissensions and jealousies, otherwise known as politics. Life does not come to neighborhoods when divided by grudge. No one has life when consumed by drunkenness and orgies. And earth itself is not given life when you and I hoard the creatures of the earth out of envy and greed. Instead, life comes to all those things when we crucify the passions of the flesh and treat everything from men and women to our nation, to our neighborhoods, to the worms on the ground with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We bind ourselves to the good as Jesus has bound himself to us, so that creation may have life from us, the way that we have life from Jesus. That's what right and wrong are all about. It's about being free by being bound to life. It's not just that God says so. Rather, God says so because he's all about giving life away. And there's only one way it happens, and that is on the way of life, that is Jesus Christ, from which nothing can separate you. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all creation according to its needs.
O Lord, in your presence there is fullness of joy. Pour out your Spirit upon all that you have made, that every creature may know the pleasures of your path of life. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Bishop of the Church, bind the heart of your people to whatever is excellent, true, good, and beautiful, and keep far from them the passions of the old nature, that they may be truly free. Lord, in your mercy, look with kindness upon our neighbors and our enemies. Reveal to them the goodness of your way. Turn them from all falsehood and deliver them from evil. Strengthen also our brethren in Libya, Pakistan, and Sudan. Lord, in your mercy. O God, we thank you for this nation. Always give it leaders after your own heart who love creation as you have made it, and bear the virtues of patience, goodness, and self-control. Lord, in your mercy. You are our good above all other, O Lord. Protect and heal all who take refuge in you, especially Hilmer, Les, Rich, Carol, Barbara, Dennis, Rita, and Ben. For Barry, Avery, Deborah, Pat, Grace, June, Tina, and Barb. Krista, Larry, Renee, David, Ethel, Elroy, Jane, Nancy, Jim, Dolores, and all of Zion's homebound members, be their portion and their cup. Lord, in your mercy. You are the true and only God, the creator of us all. Bring us through the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ, to the New Jerusalem, where we shall take up the cup of thanksgiving and raise it to you forever. Lord, in your mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Out of love for God and in order to support the work of the church, the congregation is now placing its offering into the baskets being passed by the ushers. Pastor Johnson will then lead the congregation in the sacrament of Holy Communion, assisted by Pastor Jurdy and Vicar Pinsel. Two hymns will be sung during the distribution. Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus, number 487 in a Lutheran Book of Worship, and Be Thou My Vision, number 776 in the hymnal Supplement with One Voice. The broadcast of today's service is sponsored in remembrance of Jim Chinook, whose birthday was July 4th by his mother Pauline Chinook and family. Jim was a teacher at John Muir Middle School from 1988 until 2001. Thank you.
not come to this table trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercy. Grant us so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and so to drink his blood, that we may dwell in him and he in us. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do for the remembrance of me." In the same way, also after the supper, he took the cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them to drink, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death.
Please join us at this same time next Sunday morning. Worship services at Zion Church are Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. and Saturday evenings at 5:15 p.m. Midweek services are held Wednesdays at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. Bible study is held each Sunday at 10:15 a.m. in the church hall. Zion Lutheran Church has been broadcasting on this radio station each Sunday morning for 82 years, and the Wausau Lutheran Hour continues to bring you the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome your financial gifts, which will make this broadcast possible. You may make a donation and get more information on Zion's website, www.zionlutheranwausau.com, or mail your donation to Zion Lutheran Church, 709 6th Street, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54403. And now, may our Savior, Jesus Christ, be with you and grant you a joyful and blessed week.
thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us to the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you and in fervent love towards one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.